This call is being recorded.
NFL, week 8. And nobody's great in this parody of parody NFL season. In London, Washington and Cincinnati's defenses visit a hospital for homeless children. How sad it was to see their sad, lost, and hopeless little faces. Reported 5-year-old David from his sickbed whilst watching the high-scoring overtime tie. In other overtime news, the Bucks have no luck, as Roberts is the Raiders' aider, and the Eagles wail as the Cowboys hail Old Man Witten. Well, they've had Stevie, they've had Flip, and they've had Rob, but as Buffalo throw out their latest Johnson, they find he couldn't rise to the challenge, nor stiffen a rather flaccid Bills defense, as New England power on with a mighty thrust. Meanwhile, in Seattle land, Justin is in hiding, sitting this one out, much like his team's defense last night, as an icy breeze passed through Seattle, quite literally.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Don't know Justin, but I'm joined by our Saints Superfan, Chris. Chris, hello. Welcome to the NFU Power Rankings podcast, and thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm at a bit of a loss. I'm not sure how I follow up that amazing beginning there. That was a well done, sir. Well done.
No problem. You can capture a bit of that on every opening to this this podcast, and I'm this may well be as good as it gets, Chris. But let's hope not, huh? But I think we've got to start tonight with the breaking news. I don't know what time it is with you. It's 10 to 6 here in Scotland. The breaking news that Jamie Collins, the linebacker / defensive end from the New England Patriots, has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. I mean, what has this guy done to deserve that? He goes for a third round pick, and the floor is yours, Chris.
Well, and that's the question, is what has he done? Because this just reeks that there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about. Now, I do know Patrick, our New England representative, is on our group chat right now, just really talking about how overrated he felt Jamie Collins has always been. And that seems to be the sentiment from Pats fans everywhere. But it seems like the fan base from the end of 31 teams disagree with him. This is big. You know, a third-round pick for somebody who they very well could have lost in free agency. I understand that. They would have received a comp pick for losing Jamie Collins, and it very well would have been a third-round pick. So you essentially traded one of your best players to have the same pick just a year sooner. With how well New England's playing right now, sitting at 7-1, this isn't it's not a fire sale. They're still very much, they're leading the pack. This is surprising. There's a lot to this. I'd be interested to see how things play out. If anything comes up, we know how mum Bill Belichick is on things like this, but there's got to be something going on.
What surprises, well, there's various things to surprise me. I think, first of all, the fact that he's been traded, because like you say, to all other franchises across the league, this guy is a versatile linebacker who can do just about anything from that position, and has been appeared to have been a huge success for them. But so okay, you trade him. All right, who are you going to trade him to? You trade him to the Browns? I mean, he must have done something pretty bad to end up at the Browns. I mean, I could imagine him getting traded to Tennessee or maybe Indianapolis, but the Browns?
You know, the best thing that I've read about this so far is this is Belichick sending a message to the rest of the unrestricted free agents next year, that if you don't hurry up and sign that extension they're offering you now, they will trade you to Cleveland. That is your punishment. So Hightower needs to ink that contract quick, or We'll be hearing about this tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, he's one of the guys who's coming up, isn't he, for a long-term deal at the end of the year. So maybe that plays into it as well. But whew, that's it's quite a shocker considering just how settled everything seems in New England. Anyway, Chris, I think we'll have to leave that and wait to see what breaks in the news over the next day or so, and maybe we'll have a word about the trade deadline as we get through these rankings. Last week we looked at the pretenders, our middle tier. This week we're going to very quickly go through the whole lot because there are a number of teams where there's no change really. And of course, we've got these next couple of weeks, or this week and the next couple of weeks, where we had, what, six teams on a bye yesterday, and I think the same next week. So some teams haven't changed because they're on a bye. So let's get cracking. And fortunately, we won't be speaking about either of our teams in the dead enders because they're further up these rankings. But at number 32, I've still got the San Francisco 49ers, who were on a bye, but really for San Francisco, it's bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, the only complaint I have about that is maybe swap them with your next team in Cleveland at 31.
Yeah.
But it's pretty grim for both these teams right now.
Well, I reckon with Cleveland, I mean, I've been saying this for a few weeks, they're a team who plays for 30 minutes, and then and then it seems to disappear and fade away in the second half. But I still somehow can grab onto a little bit of hope there. Is there hope in Cleveland?
I mean, if you follow basketball and baseball. That's about it, though.
Yes, well, that's all they need in Cleveland. They've got NBA champions and quite possibly have the Major League Baseball champions. And a win for Cleveland Browns, that would just about be a perfect season, wouldn't it, for the folks of Cleveland. Okay, number 30, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've dropped down four. I saw quite a bit of the game against Tennessee on Thursday night, and the scoreline was, I think, 36-22, but it was nowhere near as close as that. They sacked their OC after the game, and is the problem with Bortles?
Well, this is his second season, correct, or is this his third?
Ooh, I'm going to say this is his third season, I think. Yeah.
We might just have a late sophomore slump with Bortles, but this is bad. This team has regressed a lot. I think you'll see they'll be one of the first teams looking for a new head coach in this offseason.
It's interesting they sacked their offensive coordinator. That seems to be the move du jour at the moment. If all else fails, sack the offensive coordinator. We saw that in Buffalo already. So, yeah, you could be right. We could be seeing a mass change at the end of the season there in Jacksonville. Up to number 29, we've got the Chicago Bears, and they are playing Monday Night Football tonight. Chris, so why don't you tell me who's going to win that game? They're playing the Minnesota Vikings. Lucky them.
The ones who win that game tonight are the ones who don't watch it and they take the kids trick-or-treating. This is going to be miserable. Is there any chance Minnesota doesn't pull this off? I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to look at Minnesota and think they're going to be angry after last week. Didn't they lose last week, didn't they? So... they're going to be upset, and they're going to take it out on Chicago. I can't see anybody winning, but the Vikings, can you?
No, I think this one's pretty straightforward.
Yep. So we're predicting a horror show in the Monday Night Football, which will fit in quite well with the whole Halloween business. At number 28, we've got the Los Angeles Rams. They are on a bye week, but. I dropped them anyway because a little bit because I'm just not keen on the Rams at all. They are one of the poorer teams in this league. I haven't dropped them actually. They've actually stayed the same, but I don't like the Rams.
I'm not as I'm not looking at the rest of the power rankings. Maybe I do agree with you. I was gonna say I don't think I'm as down on the Rams as you are. Maybe I would swap them with the Jets or even Miami, but it's not going well in LA. It's eventually Jeff Fisher has to be out of the league, right? I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy. He's a hardworking coach, but
can the NFL exist without Jeff Fisher? I'm not sure it can, Chris. Somewhere he has to live on. I hope he's got. Hasn't he got any sons that are coaching or daughters that are coaching? Because we need to get a Fisher in there at some point when he does go. But it's just so. Yeah, you watch the Rams and you think, wow, all that talent, all those draft picks they got from Washington, and what have you done with them? Nothing. It's disappointing. Okay, up to number 27, we have the Indianapolis Colts. They've dropped a couple of places in the rankings, and I have to say, with Indianapolis, I guess the primary feeling I get from them is it's just another wasted season with one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league.
It's difficult with them. I've taken quite a bit of heat. I think Andrew Luck's a bit overrated. You know, there has to be a point in time where the talent shines through. Now, he's having a much better season this year than last year. But every year, it seems like this team is terrible. And it needs a shakeup. You know, I'd love to see a shakeup from the top down and see, you know, what a good GM could do, what an owner that's not GM hearsay, you know, somebody who's not as prevalent in the media and doing the stupid things that he likes to do after hours. But this is tough because I feel like there is talent on this team. There's a little more talent than they're given credit for, and yet we're always talking about them as one of the top or bottom 5-6 teams in the league.
Yeah, they never seem to get out of this bottom section of dead enders. You do wonder what the coach and GM said to the owner last off season to get another season coaching and managing this team. Must have been a very special speech. Either that or some very incriminating photographs.
Yes.
I think we'll move on swiftly from Indianapolis because they're just at a total depression to watch them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 26. They lost a really close one to the Oakland Raiders there last night. But I do wonder with them, is it the coaching that's holding them back?
I think it's their age. It's a young team that hasn't quite figured out how to win yet. All of their games are close. I mean, they've played a lot of games deep into the fourth quarter. They'll figure this out. I think they're a better team than given credit for. You know, losing somebody like Vincent Jackson and, you know, Jacquizz Rodgers, they pulled him off the street. Now he's hurt. They've got some bad luck. Charles Sims is another running back they've lost. So I think we're a little harsh on them right now. Give them time, though, and this will be a good team sooner than later.
Okay, Chris, just for a moment, take off your Saints baseball cap and put on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM cap and tell me, as I know you're a bit of a draft guy, what do Tampa Bay need to do next year, and where would you go with a first-round pick to improve that team? And is it helping Winston, or is it helping the defense to help Winston?
At this point, it's helping Winston. I would love to see a big featured back. I'm not the biggest Doug Martin fan. I feel he's a bit inconsistent and overrated. Now, if you give this team that already has Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, if you give them a Leonard Fournette, a Delvin Cook, or a Christian McCaffrey, that could wreak havoc in the NFC South because you have three other teams that have really bad defenses down there. So I'd build offense first here and see where it goes.
I tell you, Chris, I just to break off from the NFL for a moment, do you think the hype behind Cook and the other running backs at the moment is actually just trying to get this interesting, when actually the truth is that Leonard Fournette is by far and away the best college, certainly offensive player and possibly the best college player out there?
I don't. I think McCaffrey's a special talent. And when we do our big board here in a couple months that I'm already kind of piecing together, I have McCaffrey as the top back in the draft.
Whoa.
Fournette seems to have a lot of soft tissue injuries. He misses games. And LSU's offensive line is awesome. Fournette is a home run hitter, and he's a powerful back, but that line does him a lot of favors. So it'll be interesting to see how he translates to the NFL.
Well, I look forward to the draft podcasts coming up when we rival Kuiper and McShay. Right, up to number 25, and I can hear Justin's voice in my head saying, hurry up, move it on, which is what he does, what he spends most of his podcasts doing, to be honest. At number 25, we've got the Tennessee Titans, and we talked about the game last Thursday night. I was impressed by the running game, but also Kendall Wright was back, wasn't he? And he looked good.
Yeah, give it time. He won't be. He's Kendall Wright.
Okay, he was good last week. but it was good news for Mariota, maybe, to get somebody who can catch the ball.
Tennessee is, and I don't know where they are in the rankings currently.
25?
A team that's going to, well, in their division itself.
Ah.
They're, I think they're going to start leading this division pretty handedly for quite some time.
Yes, I think Tennessee. I was hugely impressed last Thursday night by their offensive line. Now, okay, granted they were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's hardly the most ferocious line ever to see a football field. But I was really impressed by the. I think it's Taylor Luan, the tackle. I thought he was really good.
He's a special talent. And so is Jack Conklin on the right side. Their trenches are tough on both sides of the field, and with them having two first-round picks here, one of them being L.A.,
yeah,
they're going to be able to put some talent together. And Tennessee, give them another season. They're going to be good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Currently in the standings, you've got the Texans at 5-3, and you've got the Titans at 4-4 in second place. So just a game back.
Yeah, I think they'll surpass Houston.
Yes, I hope so. Somehow I just don't like Houston very much, but there we go. Up to number 24, we've got the New York Jets. They beat Cleveland, but I think before the game, the talk was all about trade talks involving Sheldon Richardson. You fancy him in New Orleans?
Absolutely not. That guy is one mistake away from missing a season due to suspension. The Jets are a disaster right now, and largely their coaching, because that defense has a lot of talent. For them to play this poor is surprising. And frankly, Neil, I think you could drop the Jets down to 30, and nobody would really hold it against you. They're a bad team.
Whoa, 30?
I think so. I think there's just not a lot of positives going on for them right now.
Yeah, no, that's probably fair. It's very sad to see a great player like Darrell Revis start to look human. That's been hard to watch, that one. And number 23, with the Buffalo Bills, they were crushed by New England. And you do wonder, come on, you're playing New England, you know you're going to stop Brady. Where was the pass rush last night? It was. I watched some of this game. It was just awful. Oh, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo.
They brought it on themselves. This is what you get for baiting New England earlier in the season. They're going to crush you the next time. So, it is what it is. That's another team that's going to be looking for a new head coach here soon, I think.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at them last night, thinking, I wonder if they've already peaked this season in these last two or three games, and now it's going to be downhill for them. Well, they're down into the dead enders, so we'll see if they can pick it up in the next couple of weeks. Into the pretenders section, pretenders tier now, Chris. And here we go with Arizona, who have dropped 9 spots all the way down to number 22. Because, oh my goodness, I don't know how much of this game you saw last night. You probably watched a bit of it with them playing one of your division foes. They were manhandled. They were awful. You can add whatever terms you like to describe how terrible that performance was last night.
Isn't it surprising how quickly they have fallen?
Yes.
I mean, you have the emergence of David Johnson, who you can argue right now is playing the best football as any running back in the league. And then everybody else, seemingly besides Larry Fitzgerald, who time won't catch up with, everybody else has regressed. So it's shocking, but it's where they should be. They might even be lower next week.
Yes, they may well be lower. I think what I was looking for last night, I was looking for a bit more of a balanced attack. and I didn't see it. I thought Palmer continues to look rattled in the pocket. He doesn't look confident. He's still got the arm, but when he's throwing the ball, it's not really going the right direction. And against a team where with Carolina, who have such a poor defensive backfield, I was expecting a lot more from them. Okay, well, up to number.
Two of them really quick. I just read James Valdir, their left tackle for Arizona. It looks like he's done for the season as well. Oh. So that's something to. It's not going to get better for him.
No, it certainly isn't, is it? Because he was probably one of their better linemen. That's bad news indeed. Okay, number 21, Chris. We've got the Miami Dolphins. And number 20, we've got the Baltimore Ravens. These two teams stay the same as last week. They were both on a bye this week. And you imagine that Jay Ajayi didn't want a bye, but the Baltimore Ravens probably certainly did want a bye to try and heal up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good spot for them. They both have a lot of things they have to address in the offseason.
Yes, they do. They certainly do. You also wonder, Jay Ajayi is not going to keep this up, is he, much longer?
It's hard to maintain a 200 yards a game average.
Has anybody, I'm putting you on the spot there, Chris, but I don't think anybody has ever rushed for three consecutive 200-yard rushing games. I wouldn't have thought so. I think there was three others.
I don't believe so, because I think the other ones that did twice in a row were Lewis and Corey Dillon, and I don't believe either one of them had a third.
No. O.J. Simpson as well, I think. Wasn't he did one? But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Number 19, the Detroit Lions. Oh, I was really disappointed by their loss yesterday. Having seen them playing Washington the previous week, I was really expecting Detroit to push on. But was that a bad day in the office or worse?
You know, I think it's just a bad day in the office. I feel like they got kind of screwed out of a win against Detroit, or I'm sorry, against Tennessee the week prior. This team, Jim Caldwell, again, with Jeff Fisher, how is he still in the NFL? What is it that he does for his team? It feels like every coach, every job he's ever been at, has been a team that did not have a head coach. So I think they're a little low. You know, like Houston, for example, I put below them. San Diego, I think I put below them, which we'll get to. But it's tough. There's a lot of talent on that team, and it's just not being utilized.
Yes, that's true. Maybe Caldwell just takes Jim Bob Cooter along with him wherever he goes.
The world needs more Jim Bob Cooter.
Absolutely. Okay, number 18, yeah, one spot above Detroit, we've got the Houston Texans. And a bit of news for an ex-Houston player today, and that was that Andre Johnson, let's call him the great wide receiver, because I think he's probably a Hall of Fame player, he announced his retirement today.
It said Andre Johnson was, you know, amazing for years. And, you know, much like we mentioned with Raul Reeve, it's hard to see those great players lose that step and start to lose that talent. But it was time. Kind of surprising we're having so many retirements mid-season. But, no, hats off to Andre Johnson on a fantastic career.
Yeah, fantastic career. But you're right. We had somebody who else, somebody retired last week, didn't they, in the middle of the week? Who was that?
Arian Foster. Ooh.
Arian Foster, yes, indeed. Another ex, of course, a Houston Texans player. But yeah, Andre Johnson, is he a Hall of Famer for you?
I would have to say no.
Okay.
If there was a Hall of the really good, then yes. I think he's one of the best Houston Texans to ever live. But I don't think he's Hall of Fame quality.
Yeah, we'll find out in, what, 5 years' time? We'll see how he gets on. But yeah, as you say, outstanding career. Cincinnati and Washington are 17 and 16. There's no change from last week. They played out that rather bizarre game in London yesterday. And if there's anywhere in the world you're going to have a draw in the NFL, let's do it in London, in the United Kingdom, where we have draws all the time. So I don't know if you caught any of the game, Chris, but it was two mid-range teams playing out a sort of mid-season friendly, to be honest.
Well, being, and I'm not sure if you've addressed this on the podcast yet or not, but being a Saints fan, the Saints and the Redskins were the two teams that went after Josh Norman, and he ended up picking Washington over New Orleans. What's your take on that signing as of right now, midway through the season? Are you glad you did it, or is it starting to look like a bit of a mistake?
No. I'm glad we did it. He had an in-and-out game last night. He had five penalties, I think three of which were hands-to-the-face penalties, which were, I said in the podcast, if you're going to give somebody hands-to-the-face and get a five-yard penalty, then why don't you just punch them right in the chops? But he has been really, really good. Even last night, I dropped two absolutely dead cert interceptions. He should have had both of them. But he's brought a maturity to the defense. It's not just his play on the field where he's been very, very good. A great corner, you're always going to get a really good corner. You're always going to give up yards to these great receivers. AJ Green, for me, the best receiver in the league. He's played against Antonio Brown and, of course, Beckham. So he's going to give up plays and give up yards. But I like what he's done for the rest of the defensive backs. He spends a lot of time tutoring them in the training ground. He's a really good team guy. He's very much into the whole Washington charity stuff. A good guy who is busy with the team. Just a complete opposite to Hainsworth, who you remember we signed for a disgusting amount of money a number of years ago, and he did nothing on the field nor off the field. So I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy to get the guy. And he certainly is a difference maker. He's probably been our best defensive player, although without defense, that may not be much praise, really.
Very good. Yeah, I think once you guys get your pass rush, that's where he's key at. He's key at undercutting those short routes. You get your pass rush going, he'll start shutting down even the number one receivers again, like he was doing in Carolina.
Yeah. No, that's certainly what's missing between the two defenses, and that's something we'll be concentrating on in the off season. We won't get Myles Garrett, but let's hope we get somebody with a bit of pass rush ability. Okay, let's get back to this then. And number 15, we've just talked about Josh Norman's old team, and there they are, the Carolina Panthers. And yeah, interesting that Jonathan Stewart was back and running well, and with that, Carolina's offense looked very good.
Well, I'm biased, and I think I had to try to take my Saints hat off for this one, but I think he had Carolina too high.
Yep.
Especially you've got them ranked higher than Cincinnati. You've got them ranked higher than even Washington. I think it should be ranked higher than Carolina. Carolina's a bad team, and as I've argued time and time again, Cam Newton could be the best quarterback in football, and Cam Newton could be the absolute worst. And now that he has it in his head that every time he's touched, it should be a penalty, his head's not in it. And this is what happens. He's a very emotional individual, and frankly, he needs to grow up. This team, he's holding him back. As long as that happens, I mean, hey, they won yesterday. They won big. We already discussed Arizona. If that was any team that was one of these big range guys, I think Carolina lost another one. So it's again, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, it's amazing how much they've dropped since last year when they were almost unstoppable. I think we're going to, at the end of this, when we get to the extra points, we'll talk a little bit more about these penalties and so about Newton. Because I have a question for you there about the coaching staff's involvement there. At number 14, the New York Giants, they were on a bye week, so there's no change for them. Up to number 13, and it's a team, I'm not sure if you know who they are, Chris, they're called New Orleans. No, have you ever heard of them?
I've heard of them once or twice. really good defense, right? Isn't that what they're known for? They're known for just that, a shutdown defense them. And a mediocre offense.
Oh, yeah.
No, who would have thought? 13. You know, they've won three of their last four. It's hard as a Saints fan to not come off as a complete homer, but we're getting healthy. And I've been beating it in all my previews and all my recaps. It seems like every week we lose a starter on defense. We're starting to get some of them back. And I absolutely love this new mindset with what Dennis Allen has done with this defense, with complete no-names, guys that nobody wanted. You know, were cut early on in the preseason. We picked up week two, week three to start for us. They're not giving up. They're not quitting. We've seen the Saints defense under Rob Ryan quit numerous times. It's no longer the mentality. They're working for every second of all four quarters. I love it. We're still not a good team. I'm fingers crossed for a 7-9, 8-8 season. But we're getting there. And it is possible. If you look at the schedule, we could make a run at the end.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could you could even sneak this division, couldn't you?
I mean, Atlanta has to start losing a game for that to happen. But right now, they're sitting a game and a half behind. You know, we play Tampa twice, we play Atlanta again, which that doesn't matter how good one team is, one team isn't. The Atlanta-New Orleans game never goes as planned. You know, we got the 49ers coming up. We've got some winnable games.
Yeah. Absolutely, and Breeze still looks absolutely top class, doesn't he? He's a really classy guy, classy player. Just looks terrific.
He's one of the best of all time. Absolutely.
He's definitely a Hall of Famer. Tell me though, last year in the draft, you got the guy that was considered the best defensive tackle, Rankins. Rankins or Hankins? Rankins.
Sheldon Rankins.
How's he?
Hopefully.
Is he back?
Hopefully. This is the going into San Francisco is the first week he'd be eligible to return off of the short-term IR. They like his progress. Now, they have been, with Delvin Bro and everybody else, the Saints have been overly cautious with bringing him back from injuries. So we might not see him till Denver the following week. But we will see Sheldon Rankins soon, and that's going to be huge for us. Nick Fairley has played out of his mind this season. But as the season wears on, Nick Fairley's conditioning is starting to become an issue. We need somebody like Rankins who we start subbing in and keeping fairly fresh in the fourth quarter.
That was always the knock on him, wasn't it? His conditioning and his ability to put the time and the effort in. Good player otherwise. Well, I hope your first round guy gets back on the field, because I think he's a good player. Number 12, just ahead of you at number 13, the San Diego Chargers, and you would like them to be dropped a little bit further down, huh?
I don't see the appeal of San Diego. I honestly Phillip Rivers is great. I'm not seeing much of anything else. This is a team that I think their GM has just buried them in the recent years. They need a lot of turnover.
Do you see an issue there with the training and medical staff? Because this is one team that seemed to lose so many players, and you know, over here in Britain, when you get teams who have lots of injuries, they generally go away and do training and in warmer climates where it's better for the body. But you're over there in San Diego. It doesn't get much better. What's happening with all these injuries?
I think it's a combination. I've seen this with New Orleans a lot as well, where they're one of the teams that are continuously looking for that bargain by getting a player who maybe fell in the draft because of injury issues, or signing that free agent to a little bit less money because they were injured the previous year. San Diego's is one of those teams that likes to do that, and to surprise nobody, these players continue to get injured. But I don't even know if that's as much as the case in San Diego. there's just not a lot of talent on this team. I mean, they lost Keenan Allen, but you're Washington team. I think you'd be hard pressed to find 5 to 6 guys that would start on the Redskins right now, not named Philip Rivers.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. I think my attraction to San Diego is probably based on Philip Rivers and what he's doing with so little. I mean, they lost a game last night that they were, the scoreline was probably a bit closer in the end to what the game was on the field. But, we'll see. They've dropped, maybe drop next week, and we'll see how they do. But as long as they have Philip Rivers, they could do anything. Up to number 11. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles. At number 10, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers. No change for either of those two teams. I didn't drop Philadelphia after the game last night, but maybe would you see them down a little bit? They seem to be lacking a playmaker.
They're lacking a running game. I think that's the big issue. They let DeMarco Murray go, which is looking to be like a huge mistake because he's running all over the place in Tennessee. Matthews is just, he's not a running back you can rely on. And as much as I love Darren Sproles, he's never been the bell cow. So, very good team. I love Carson Wentz. Anybody who listened to our draft podcast, I loved it from the beginning. Last night was a game they should have won, even. But they didn't get that running game figured out.
Yeah. You see last night, I think Sproles had something like 18 or 19 carries, and that's just not going to get it done at the NFL, not for very long, certainly. Okay, like I said, we've got Pittsburgh, the first team in our contenders tier. They're number 10, no change. They had a bye this week. Then, now you're going to ask me, Oakland won yesterday, but I've dropped them down one spot to number 9 because I moved Green Bay up a spot, even though Green Bay lost last night. And I should just say, Chris, I did that because I thought Oakland went right the way through to almost the end of overtime, got a lucky break to get the touchdown, and that was against Tampa Bay. I was not impressed with Tampa Bay. Green Bay, however, up there at number 8 now, I moved them up a spot because I thought they played Atlanta pretty tough. And Atlanta, of course, are much higher up our rankings. So that's my thinking. What do you think there?
I really want Oakland to be good. It's odd how much I'm rooting for them, but I think maybe you're a little too high on them. I think Philadelphia should replace Oakland. They still have a lot to work out. You know, as far as Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is really good, and now that we've reached a point in the season where the injuries where they said, screw it, we're just going to throw the ball in every play. Green Bay is going to be, I think, in every game. I don't think there's a defense that could, you know, work with their receivers, because the only receivers they had out there, and Jordy Nelson, who's still steady, they would start running 4 to 5 wide. They're going to put some points on the board.
I was encouraged watching Aaron Rodgers last night. He did, he looked far more poised in the pocket, and he used his legs well at times in the game and looked confident. That was a bit different from how we've seen him over recent weeks. Anyway, we are shooting up this board here, Chris. Number 7, we have the Denver Broncos. No change for Denver. I've left them there at number 7. I am concerned about their offense.
Yeah, you know, this is a great opportunity that Booker seems to be fumbling away from him. They need to stabilize that running attack. You know, losing C.J. Anderson is big, but thank God for great defenses, because if it wasn't for the best defense in the NFL, this team would be much lower on your list.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And a little shout out there for Wade Phillips. Good to hear that he was released from hospital and seems to be not too bad. That was a bit of a smack he got last night. It's probably the best tackle San Diego put in during the whole game. Up to number... up to number 6, we have the Seattle Seahawks, and I've dropped them down 4 spots. Sorry, Justin, but with what we saw last night, okay, New Orleans, I'm not taking it away from them. They played really well, but oh my goodness, Seattle. That was rubbish.
Well, there is just so many things that confuse me. One, they're running just at will against the Northern defense, and they stopped doing it. And then you have 12 yards to get to win, and you run an isolation play with Kearse. Why? Yeah. Why did you spend so much on Jimmy Graham?
Yeah.
If I don't care if the Saints defenders, if they put three of these secondary players on Jimmy Graham, that's the guy I'm going to in that play. That's why you traded for him. Russell Wilson is obviously still hurt. He's finding it very difficult to escape the pocket. If they don't fix things soon, this team's going to keep falling down the board. Their defensive line is insane. Their secondary, you know, they lost Cam Chandler. Chances for bits. You can't throw on them, as I said, showed last night. But, man, I'm a Saints fan, and I was upset I didn't throw the ball to Jimmy Graham. It's just confusing and wasteful. Just wasteful.
It's very much been the story of Graham's career there in Seattle. He's been injured a lot, of course, but he's just never seemed to become the focal point of that offense. And you're right. I've seen it with Washington as well this season. You start running well, you run well, and then you really develop that in your game plan, and then all of a sudden you drop by 3 points, and boom, you stop running the ball. It's madness. And I'm worried about Wilson. He looks like one proper hit away from a lengthy spell on the sidelines. So they've got to get that sorted. And I do wonder if they're one of the teams who may make a move before the trade deadline.
Their biggest thing is just Wilson's health. I don't think there's a major move they need to make. I wonder, though, if it would behoove them to sit him for a week, try to get that knee back up to par.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they do. Anyway, they've dropped down four spots. And above them now, at fifth place, the Atlanta Falcons. In fourth place, the Kansas City Chiefs. And at number three, the Minnesota Vikings. Now, none of those three teams have changed from last week. Atlanta, of course, had that solid win. Kansas City also, good solid win, even though Alex Smith was out of the game with what's thought to be a concussion. He's certainly in the concussion protocol. Minnesota playing tonight. We've already predicted a horror show for Chicago against them. One player I'd like to pick out, though, Chris, is for Atlanta, number five. Vic Beasley, after looking like a complete bust, is slowly starting to develop into a bit of a situational pass rusher. He has 7.5 sacks so far. I think that's about tied for third in the league. So is Atlanta for real? And is Vic Beasley going to live up to his draft status?
I think this is why you brought me on the show, just for this one stupid question. until they start losing, they're for real. So this defense is young, so we'll see how long they keep together. They may be able to do it a whole season, but I feel like there's still the possibility of a team coming in there and smacking them in the mouth. And when you have a young team, much like the South Carolina, balls on the coaching to keep their head on straight. We saw Atlanta. They won a lot of games early last year, too, and then they fell quickly. So I'm still a little sheepish on Atlanta, that could just be my Saints colored glasses I'm wearing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think didn't they start off 6-0 last year, or 6-1 or something? Yeah, and then they fell away. So you've got to be a bit hesitant there with them. We'll see. I still think there's a chance that you may catch them and pass them in that division. I'm not sure, but not the greatest of NFL seasons so far, I think, in terms of quality. Anyway, so our top three then, we're Minnesota at number three. At number two, up four spots, the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, and that's, I think maybe I would switch, I would definitely switch Minnesota and Dallas. I think Minnesota's a much better team. Dallas is one. How far can a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back take a team in the NFL? That's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah.
There's going to be a team that's going to make them throw the ball and throw it a lot. So That's what I'm interested in seeing. What's going to happen when Dak has to put 40 points on the board?
I also wonder for Dallas. I don't worry because I hope they totally collapse and then lose every game now. But I do worry with Dallas that you know, the college season is what, 11, 12 games. You know, at what point are Elliott and Prescott going to hit that rookie wall where they really struggle for a number of weeks, and that might take them out of the rhythm a little bit.
And we're still waiting on the Sean Lee injury. That always seems to happen around this time of year. Not that I'm rooting for it, but he's a huge loss every season. So it's gonna.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still a little. I'm not completely convinced on Dallas.
And I suppose the big question with Dallas is, do you bring Romo back or do you roll with Prescott?
No, you roll with Prescott the rest of the season. You're sitting at what is the record currently? Let me pull up here.
They're 6-1.
You don't make a change at 6-1. What is Tony Romo going to be able to do at this stage in his career that Dak Prescott's not doing already?
Yeah, that's a fair point. You do wonder maybe he can open up the offense a little bit, but. I don't know. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said you go with Romo. But now you start to think, well, there's no point changing this at the moment until it really starts to go badly wrong. And it doesn't look like doing that. Anyway, we have reached the zenith, number one. And no surprises, Chris. It's the New England Patriots who, well, probably deserve to have their own tier here in the rankings all to themselves because they do appear to be streets ahead of just about everybody.
As the world turns, you know, water's still wet, the sun's still hot, and the New England Patriots are sitting on top of a power ranking.
Yep. Do you see any signs there that they could be in trouble? Is there anybody out there you think that could challenge them? Pittsburgh?
No. I don't think definitely not Pittsburgh. Minnesota would be a team I'd be interested to watch and play. And I would even say Atlanta. You know, Atlanta has a really high power offense that I think could put them on their heels a bit. Minnesota would get to Brady. Now, the problem is that I don't think you see that happen until the Super Bowl. So, bad news for the AFC because I don't see a lot of teams that can do anything.
No, I don't see anything in the AFC really. Maybe Pittsburgh if they get Roethlisberger back healthy, but I don't know. Their defense is not great. Okay, Chris, give me my top three are Minnesota, Dallas, and New England. Who would your top three be right now?
Well, I mean, definitely Minnesota, New England, and wow. I mean, as much as I just bashed them, now that I look at it, I guess I'd have to put, I put Kansas City in there. Kansas City's playing really well. Justin Houston, if he comes back. And that's another team that I think could really challenge New England. But I put Kansas City and then Dallas as my fourth.
Okay. And we are almost at the sort of halfway point of the season. A few teams have got an extra game to catch up with. But if you were looking now at your Super Bowl or your two championship games, who are you looking at there? Two teams from the NFC, two teams from the AFC? I would probably on you go, Chris.
No, I'm sorry. No, if you're going two teams from the NFC, definitely Minnesota is going to be the top team there. And then I think Green Bay gets it done. Which I guess they could be in the NFC Championship, but that they would be my top two picks in the NFC at this point. And then New England and Kansas City. I think those are the two teams that when eventually the cream has to rise in the top will be there.
I think that's – you can't really – I don't think you can really argue with that. It's New England and one other. And like you say, Minnesota have shown themselves to be the best team so far. And when you've got Aaron Rodgers there, they're always in with a shout. So yeah, I can't argue with you there, really. Okay, Chris, we always finish off this podcast with an extra point or two. And my extra point this week, I've seen that a couple of times now this week, this season, and last night was one of them, where there's been two flags on the play. Let's say one of them was a holding call against the offense, and the second penalty was a personal foul, let's say roughing the passer or unsportsmanlike conduct or hitting a defenseless receiver. And those penalties then are offsetting, and you move on and you play on the game. I wonder with the safety issues in the league, if the league has to sort of look at that rule and say, if there's a personal foul on the play, roughing the passer or so, one of these plays where somebody can get hurt, if that penalty should take precedent over the other one, and it should be enforced and the other one thrown out. What do you think?
Well, there is, I'm trying to pull the details on it right now, and I think it's only for personal fouls. Personal fouls trump anything. So you do have that, but I'm not sure exactly. I'm trying to find the details on it. But besides that, the whole offsetting penalties, I'm with you. They're absolutely infuriating. But there is a...
I also wonder, you see these hits on players, and they've brought in this new rule this year, haven't they, where you can, if you get two of a certain type of personal foul, then you get kicked out of the game. I do wonder if they should also look at maybe somebody who commits one of these personal fouls actually is out for the rest of that series.
Well, I've been waiting for that myself, because the personal fouls include things like taunting. So,
yeah.
To think that a player gets kicked out of a game for taunting twice in a game, one professional needs to know the rules. But, yeah, that's another rule. I think we discussed this, you and I actually last season discussed the idea of that. It's absolutely insane. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. There's definitely a lot of complaining about the penalties right now. Which one should be called? Which one shouldn't? I know Cam Newton's awfully upset. He's getting hit quite a bit. They did make adjustments to hitting quarterbacks low. That kind of helps the defense. But I'm with you. There definitely needs to be a lot of changes and considerations going on.
One of the things we talked about off air this afternoon was about the Cam Newton situation. I don't know if you want to expand a little bit on how you feel Cam Newton is handling the situation of his alleged late hits and not feeling safe on the field.
Well, and I think early on he had a case. He was taking a lot of shots to the head. It wasn't being called. There does seem to be a double standard. There's players it seems like the refs like, and there's players that don't. The one thing that I'll say about Cam Newton is every time he's touched, whether it's legal or not, he complains about it. And that could be why he's not getting the superstar calls he used to get.
Yeah. You're not hearing it from the coaches either, are you? I mean, maybe they are in Carolina, in the area itself, but you're not hearing coaches and other players coming out saying, we've got to protect Cam Newton, this is ridiculous. It just seems to be all about Cam Newton. So I'm not sure there. That's usually you get the coaches coming out to support players or even making those statements on behalf of the players to a certain extent. And we're not hearing that there with Carolina.
Well, I think a lot of it is, teams have kind of been waiting for this. Cam Newton has gotten a lot of calls in his favor over the years. To expand on that, we were also discussing off air all the Seattle players, Richard Sherman coming out and complaining about the no call on the two pick plays that were big plays for New Orleans last night. And watching the game objectively, they were picks. They should have been called. But the flip side of that is, one, Seattle has no right complaining about a pick play. That's the exact play they tried to use to win the Super Bowl against New England. Seattle is very good at running the pick play. They run them all the time. Two, you have a defense where it seems the mentality is to create a penalty on every play because the refs just won't throw it. So you're getting a lot of Blake McCann and Seattle. Sometimes the games are just going to be called not in your favor. And if you continually to push the referees, they're going to be more inclined to call them on you. So I think we're seeing a bit of a change in the tide a little bit. And again, I'm biased. Of course, I'm happy the Saints won. If New England, or sorry, Seattle wants to continue to say they lost the game because of a penalty, then they should get that game back to Atlanta where there was a no call on a clear pass interference. I hope you know.
Yep. We could spend all night discussing referees and umpires and the calls they make. It's a tough old job, that one. But, well, we can only hope that they get better. Certainly the football is not getting any better, so maybe the referees can get better. Chris, it's been terrific to have you on tonight, filling in for Justin. And, yeah, can't wait for those draft podcasts in the off season and hopefully hear you on here again soon in the future. So thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, bud.
And we'll see you all next week for week 9 of the Next Fan Up Power Rankings.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.